Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Not all meetings can be planned in advance. Things come up, last-minute opportunities, work emergencies, great ideas to discuss. But with people working from different offices or on the go, it can be impossible to get everyone in the same room when you need to meet. So be prepared. Use Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online whenever you need to, wherever you are. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and projects in real time, making it easy for everyone to stay on the same page. And turn on your webcam to see each other face-to-face. It's like meeting in person. GoToMeeting can save you time and money, making you more productive. Start working smarter today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
The Tea Party movement scores an upset. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It's Wednesday, June 11. Glad you could be with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Washington is abuzz this morning with word that House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia was clobbered in his GOP primary race last night. What will that mean on Capitol Hill?
A gunman opened fire at a high school outside Portland, killing one student before apparently taking his own life.
A judge in Los Angeles has ruled that California's laws regarding things like teacher tenure are unconstitutional.
And before Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's release, classified intel predicted that Taliban officials freed from detention as part of the prisoner swap would return to the battlefield.
There were a lot of things at play here, and, you know, getting back their guy in Sergeant Bergdahl was very important, and that was an overriding priority. But there were other reasons as well. Moving to close Guantanamo, moving to restart peace negotiations with the Taliban were also considerations.
Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes explains what was known prior to the exchange. He's here in about 20 minutes. Another school shooting. A gunman entered a high school in Troutdale, Oregon yesterday morning and shot and killed one student, slightly injured a teacher. The gunman, who was armed with a rifle, apparently also took his own life. Scott Anderson is chief of police in Troutdale.
The shooter entered the building that houses the school's gym. It's a separate, detached building. We know that Emilio was shot and killed in the boys' locker room.
The victim was identified as 14-year-old Emilio Hoffman, a freshman at Reynolds High School. Yesterday was the second to last day of school. The injured teacher was treated and released at the scene, by the way. Troutdale's a quiet city of about 16,000. It's about 15 miles east of Portland. About 2,800 students attend that public high school. Yesterday's incident occurred just 5 days after a shooting at Seattle Pacific University that left one student dead and just over 2 weeks after a shooting spree near UC Santa Barbara that claimed seven lives back on May 23rd. Politics now. The number two Republican in the House is gone, at least temporarily. In a stunning political development, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia was defeated by 11 percentage points in the Republican primary last night by David Bratt, a Tea Party challenger who's an economics professor at Randolph-Macon College.
This campaign was about just basic American values and virtues right from the beginning, and the basic premise is power belongs to the people, and that's what we're going to do.
It's considered an unexpected assertion of conservative power that's sure to reshape Republican policy and leadership. Let's get some analysis now from Caitlin Huey Burns, reporter at Real Clear Politics. She's with us live this morning. Caitlin, I've read that Mr. Cantor's polling, even late in the race, had him up by 30-something percentage points.
Right. This was something that completely shocked observers, people in Washington, people in Virginia. He had been very confident heading into the election. In fact, he was in Washington on Tuesday instead of in his district in Richmond and put out polling showing him ahead, and had been kind of assuring people that that he was okay. But at the same time, he did give an indication that he could be vulnerable. He raised about $5 million, spent about $1 million in the final leg of the campaign. He ran ads against his primary opponent, so it wasn't as if he was caught off guard or unprepared, but still, this was a completely stunning victory, actually, for Bratt.
Wow. So he's, Mr. Cantor spent about $1 million. What did Mr. Bratt spend?
That is the interesting thing about this. Bratt raised about $200,000 and spent a little over $100,000 of it.
Wow.
And what's interesting about this compared to some of the other primaries that we've been watching this cycle is that kind of the national Tea Party groups and conservative outside groups did not get involved in this race. It wasn't as similar to Mississippi, where groups were spending millions of dollars on behalf of the insurgent. This was really a grassroots, in its most traditional form, kind of Tea Party support in the Richmond area.
Well, that's interesting. So he gets credit, Mr. Bratt, for what, basically getting out the vote? Is that the difference here?
I think that could be the difference. And what's interesting about this is that he waged his campaign against Cantor. He focused it on Cantor's support in the past for some kind of immigration reform related to kind of young people coming into the country. And he also focused his campaign against Cantor as a kind of a Washington insider who had been out of touch with his district, who was too liberal for the Richmond district, and who had supported who had led a conference who had, you know, raised the debt ceiling, supported budgets that didn't defund the health care law and things of that nature.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns, reporter at Real Clear Politics. She's with us live this morning, providing a little analysis of Eric Cantor's defeat last night in the GOP primary in Virginia. So what is this district like? Is this a seat that's likely to stay in Republican hands?
Yes, this is a solid Republican district. Democrats stand, I think, little chance of winning here. But it really... To have the second in command in the House go down in this kind of way. It wasn't even a close race. Cantor, as you mentioned, lost by 11 points. And the other thing to mention is that turnout was higher in this primary than it was in the primary 2 years ago there. So it wasn't as though it was a low turnout race and the supporters didn't come.
So how does this affect leadership on Capitol Hill? Is John Boehner likely to remain as House Speaker now?
Well, this kind of throws the conference into chaos mode. Heading into this election cycle, Republicans were really seemed to be very united around their opposition to the president and focused on winning in these primaries and gaining seats in the House and the Senate after this election. Now there are a lot of questions circulating about the state of the Republican Party. It kind of upends the narrative that we've been that has been pushed forward, that the establishment has learned lessons from past campaigns and is kind of triumphing over Tea Party candidates, or at least embracing them to win. The other thing is that it throws into question the leadership in the House. Boehner is, I think, likely, he was likely to stay on anyway, but I think without a clear successor, he might stay on a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
There are questions now about which Republicans will vie for Cantor's place as majority leader, and whether Cantor will stay on through January, through the rest of his term as majority leader.
Oh, interesting. And we don't know yet, right, if he's going to run as a write-in candidate. That's still a possibility in Virginia politics.
That could be a possibility. He could not run as an independent, given Virginia law, but he could possibly run as a write-in. We don't know yet what he's going to do. I would point to a campaign 4 years ago in which Lisa Murkowski, a Republican senator from Alaska, ran as a write-in after losing her primary, and she's still a current U.S. senator. So there are possibilities, but it's not clear yet what Cantor will do.
All right. So legislatively here, Caitlin, what does this mean? Because some are saying now that good luck with immigration reform.
Right. The prospects of immigration reform this year seemed the window is really closing. In fact, many are predicting that this is yet another nail on the coffin. I think it could, if it hasn't already, if for these primaries haven't already, really spook some Republican members running in primaries and running for election, and kind of take those who are kind of taking risks on policy, because this really was stunning. And Cantor, like I said, was prepared. He even ran flyers in his district promoting his kind of some anti-immigration, anti-amnesty stances. So I think Republican members are even more concerned about moving forward, and that definitely has policy implications.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always. Nice talking to you. Caitlin Huey Burns, reporter at Real Clear Politics, with us live this morning. By the way, there's a poll now on our website. The question is, will the Tea Party success continue into November? You can vote and see results at WSJThisMorning.com.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
This portion of the program brought to you by Stamps.com. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter can be expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. The Iraqi government has declared a state of emergency as al-Qaeda-linked militants from ISIS, or the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, violently seize control of Mosul, Iraq's second-largest city. More from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Jeff Bellinger.
It was a brazen military operation that underscored the weakness of the central government across large portions of the country. Iraq's prime minister did not say whether military forces were mobilizing to retake the city 220 miles north of the capital, Baghdad. The takeover of a major industrial and oil center and the main city in northern Iraq marked a major coup for a group that only months ago was operating in the country's vast desert hinterlands. By last night, the militants were still expanding their territorial conquest. Gordon?
Thank you, Jeff. 21 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Tea Party supporters brew up an upset in Virginia, where House Majority Leader Eric Cantor lost to Dave Brat in the Republican primary.
I look forward to continuing to fight with all of you for the things that we believe in, for the conservative cause, because those solutions of ours are the answer to the problems that so many people are facing today.
That's Cantor. Brat, an economics professor at a Virginia college, had gone after the majority leader over budget and immigration issues. The U.S. House has voted unanimously to give thousands of veterans emergency access to private care to deal with the VA health care crisis that's embarrassed the Obama administration. So many lawmakers wanted to be on the record supporting this bill, the second vote was held for a few that missed the initial tally. Teacher tenure is dealt a setback in California, where a judge said the state's strong tenure laws are unconstitutional. The Journal's Erica Phillips has more.
He wrote in his decision that the laws impose a real and appreciable impact on the student's fundamental right to equality of education.
Another school shooting, this time near Portland, Oregon, where authorities say a teenager with a rifle walked into a high school gym and shot one student. Later, the gunman was found dead in a restroom. Troutdale Police Chief Scott Anderson.
We have identified the victim in today's shooting as 14-year-old Emilio Hoffman.
Anderson says,
a freshman at Reynolds High School.
Anderson says a teacher was grazed by a bullet but made it to the school's office to initiate a lockdown, which may have saved lives. In southern Afghanistan, officials say that five U.S. troops were killed in one of the deadliest apparent episodes of friendly fire in almost 13 years. An aide to an Afghan governor says the group was mistakenly targeted by coalition aircraft. The U.S.-led coalition says it's investigating to determine how the troops were killed. U.S. stock futures a little on the negative side this morning after the Dow added almost 3 points for a fresh record high yesterday. Trading was quiet. The S&P 500 slipped less than one. The Nasdaq inched up almost two. And after days of a strong showing, small company stocks posted slightly deeper losses than the broader benchmarks. Stanley Cup finals resume tonight in New York, where the L.A. Kings can win the cup if they beat the Rangers, as the Kings lead 3-0. Meanwhile, the San Antonio Spurs kick up a 111-92 win over the Heat in Miami, going up 2-1 in that best of seven.
I happened to watch the opening quarter, a few minutes of the opening quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like the Spurs were playing with seven guys. They scored 41 points. That's
Whoa.
Like 160 pace for the game. You know, that was huge. Couldn't
it was
miss.
Over already at the beginning.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. 24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Find a great deal on a brand new car at AutoTrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. What could a car company and a ketchup maker possibly collaborate on? Ford and H.J. Heinz are researching the use of tomato fibers to develop a sustainable composite material in car manufacturing. Wall Street Journal reporter Aaron McCarthy says dried tomato skins could have multiple uses. Aaron, what's this about?
Heinz has a lot of leftover tomato byproduct because they use 2 million tons of tomatoes every year just to make ketchup, and they need something to do with it. And Ford is trying to use more sustainable and renewable materials to make their cars, so they're hoping they can use the tomato for that.
So how can they use the tomato?
So basically they are researching right now to see if they can use the tomato fibers or dried tomato skin to build certain parts of the car, namely wiring brackets and then little storage bins like where you put your keys.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Aaron McCarthy. Are there any challenges to this?
So far, they haven't mentioned any. I mean, it's really, really early. They just have said that it's early in the stages. They have done somewhat similar things, like they use composite materials for cars that is coconut-based. They also have soy foam seat cushions. So they have used different materials before. So, I mean, it's certainly possible, but they don't know just yet whether they can do this.
Why is there a push to use more sustainable materials?
I think this is part of a broader industry effort to just be more sustainable and use more renewable materials. It also goes hand in hand with just the fact that we're seeing more hybrid cars and electric cars. So I think the industry is trying to give itself a little bit of a makeover and show that it's more eco-friendly and is really trying to give consumers products that are not totally bad for the earth.
Wall Street Journal reporter Aaron McCarthy, 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
How easy is getting unlimited data outside the U.S. with T-Mobile? Just one step. Turn on your phone. Because with T-Mobile, unlimited global data in over 100 countries is automatically included in your plan at no extra charge. Sounds simple? It is simple. It's the Simple Choice for Business plan, only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Glad you're with us on this Wednesday, June 11. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti coming up this half hour in a stunning upset. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia has lost his GOP primary to economics professor David Bratt.
I did not run against Eric Cantor as a person. He's a good man. I respect him as a person. I ran against a set of principles.
Also, an apparent murder-suicide at a suburban Portland high school where 14-year-old Emilio Hoffman was killed.
Every time I'd come into first period, he'd be sitting right next to me. And I can't accept the fact that he's not going to be there anymore.
On a lighter note this half hour as well, the 12 best jobs for women. We'll have that list in about 20 minutes. Well, before the U.S. set free five Afghan Taliban commanders from Guantanamo Bay to secure the freedom of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, American intelligence officials predicted that two of the men would return to senior positions with the militant group. It's a story from Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes, who joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Julian, what are sources telling you?
There were a lot of things at play here. And, you know, getting back their guy in Sergeant Bergdahl was very important. And that was an overriding priority. But there were other reasons as well. Moving to close Guantanamo, moving to restart peace negotiations with the Taliban were also considerations. And quite frankly, the administration says they received assurances from Qatar that would mitigate some of the danger these guys placed. And as we have been talking to officials about this intelligence assessment that the detainees would try to return to the battlefield, they repeatedly turned back to those assurances and said, we'll be able to monitor these guys, we will watch them, and quite frankly, if they do attempt to return to the fight in Afghanistan, the United States will go after them.
Could the fact that U.S. is pulling more and more troops out of Afghanistan change the way we deal with the Taliban?
The hope of some U.S. officials, the Taliban reverts from a militant group to a political movement within Afghanistan. And also, when this war ends, it's quite possible that a court will order detainees released, that the hostilities with the Taliban, between the Taliban and the United States, will be over. You know, and maybe that happens in 2015 with the conclusion of the formal combat mission. Maybe that happens in 2016 when the force count is scheduled to get very small in Afghanistan. But in any case, a new era of the war is dawning, and that changed the calculation both of the Taliban for giving up Bergdahl and the United States for releasing people that the intelligence community assessed remained loyal to the Taliban.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. The latest revelation is only going to add fuel to criticism by some that the release was inappropriate, right?
That's right. Particularly Republicans, but also other lawmakers as well, have criticized this, have said that the Obama administration should not have released these Taliban leaders. And the fact that there was an assessment that these people remain dangerous is likely to add fuel to that fire.
Yesterday, we had lawmakers watch a video that played a role in the prisoner swap, correct?
That's right. We have had some more classified briefings. Lawmakers have viewed this video. The reason why it's important is that defense and officials and others use that video in part to assess that Bergdahl's health was declining. And so lawmakers wanted to see, you know, how bad did he look in that video, vice the video that has been released by the Taliban over the handover. You know, what were Pentagon officials judging this declining health? Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel appears before the House Armed Services Committee, and that is a question that lawmakers are going to put to him.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, the Blackwater case returns to the front burner today. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Glad you're with us. After nearly 7 years of legal wrangling and false starts, a federal court is finally set to begin sorting out whether four Blackwater security contractors are criminally responsible for the deaths of some of the 17 Iraqis killed in a 2007 shootout in Baghdad. Jury selection begins today. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman is watching the case. Andrew, revisit how this began.
About 7 years ago, there was a shootout in a Baghdad traffic circle that left 17 Iraqis dead. It was kind of a watershed moment for the U.S. in Iraq and for Blackwater as a company. There's been lots of legal wrangling, lots of false starts, and finally the trial of four Blackwater contractors, former Blackwater contractors, is set to begin in Washington on Wednesday. And one guy has pled guilty already. He's expected to testify. But finally, there'll be some effort to sort out whether these guys are criminally responsible for at least some of those deaths.
So why the trial in Washington and not in Iraq, for example?
There's a statute that allows the U.S. to prosecute in U.S. courts, people who are acting on behalf of the Defense Department, and these people had immunity as contractors in Iraq. That immunity was actually later revoked, in part in response to this incident. But they have to be tried in the U.S. because of that.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman. So, will there be, say, an Iraqi government representative in the courtroom watching proceedings?
I'm sure, you know, this case has attracted a lot of attention in Iraq. A few years ago, Joe Biden actually took a fairly rare step of saying in Iraq that the case would be brought again, reassuring Iraqis that the U.S. was committed to this prosecution because it has attracted so much attention there. And there are expected to be quite a few Iraqi witnesses testifying about what they saw that afternoon in 2007.
Wow. So what changed following this incident in that Iraqi traffic circle after all that?
Well, you know, this Blackwater, the private security contractor that was responsible for State Department security in Iraq, it was already controversial. You know, it had been seen by a lot of Iraqis and some in the U.S. government as sort of a firm with a kind of cowboy, cavalier attitude. This basically ratcheted up the pressure on them. It led to increased restrictions. It hurt their business, hurt their image, and it sort of was a major catalyst toward the State Department ending their contract with Blackwater and the firm sort of changing the way it does business. Its founder eventually got out. It's now changed its name twice. Actually, it's now called Academy, and the founder is no longer involved.
What took so long to get it to the courtroom?
Basically, there were a few legal issues involving tainted witnesses, proper disclosure, evidence, evidentiary issues, and lots of back and forth between prosecutors and some appeals court rulings.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Grossman in Washington. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym. Squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
Get AC Delco Professional DuraStop brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle. Includes rotor inspection, retail customers only, turning or replacing rotors, all other services, and tax extra. Visit CadillacCertifiedService.com for details, other great offers, and to find your closest Cadillac dealer.
Thanks for spending time with us. Good communication is crucial for any business, especially when people you work with are not in the same office. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. You need to be able to stay connected and meet with coworkers and clients wherever they are. That's why millions of small business professionals rely on Citrix GoToMeeting, and you should too. It's the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. With GoToMeeting, you can share the same screen to review documents and presentations in real time, making it easier for everyone to stay on the same page. And with built-in HD video conferencing, you just need a webcam to see each other face-to-face. It's just like being together in the same room. GoToMeeting allows you to present, demonstrate, and just simply meet from anywhere with any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. See why millions choose GoToMeeting. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code WSJ. That's gotomeeting.com, promo code WSJ. 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. A major political upset from Virginia, where House Majority Leader Eric Cantor has lost in the primary to Tea Party Republican Dave Bratt, an economics professor at a small college. Bratt spoke with Fox News.
The issue is the Republican Party has been paying way too much attention to Wall Street and not enough attention to Main Street. And so the American people want to take the country back.
Bratt secured the GOP nomination without much financial help. In terms of campaign fundraising, Cantor raised almost $6 million to Bratt's $231,000. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to face angry lawmakers today as the first administration official to testify publicly about the controversial prisoner swap that freed Sergeant Bo Bergdahl from Taliban captivity. Hagel is scheduled to appear before the House Armed Services Committee. General Motors CEO Mary Barra says that early next month is the likely time frame for shareholders to learn estimates of compensation costs tied to the ignition switch recall. Barra says she'll have a better idea after fund expert Ken Feinberg provides her with an update on how accident victims or their families will be paid. United Continental is changing its frequent flyer program to one that awards miles based on how much you pay for the ticket rather than the distance flown. The changes kick in March 1st. Delta Airlines is rolling out similar changes that take effect in January, and already Southwest, JetBlue, and Virgin America had made similar changes. Well, P.F. Chang's is the latest to investigate a possible data breach. Spokeswoman says the company's working to determine if any credit and debit card information was stolen. Stock futures are negative, more so now that the World Bank has cut its global growth forecast for the year. Yesterday, Wall Street was narrowly mixed, but the Dow did manage another new record close. It rose almost 3 points, but it was also, trading-wise, a weak day.
It's been so strong. We've been in this bull market, and the market's just taking a little bit of a break and consolidating.
And that's Gary Bradshaw with Hodges Fund. Well, the governor of Illinois has signed a bill making that state the first in the U.S. to ban the manufacture and sale of personal care products that contain synthetic microbeads. It won't take fully effect for 5 years. Environmental experts argue that the plastic beads cause pollution and threaten the food chain. New York and California have reportedly considered similar bans.
All right. Gina, 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, the best jobs for women.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Thanks for being with us on this hump day. Is there a woman in your life who's entering or returning to the workforce? More careers are emerging to provide an equal opportunity to succeed both professionally and financially. The employment site CareerCast.com has put together a list of the 12 best jobs for women. Tony Lee is publisher of CareerCast. Tony, tell us about the list.
It really ranges. I mean, we've got jobs like actuary, which is ranking very highly for men as well as for women. But then we have jobs like computer systems analyst, which frankly, you know, women had a really hard time breaking in. But now women make up about 40% of all the computer systems analysts out there. So it's a job where there's huge hiring demand, salaries really soaring. So it's a great fit for women who have that type of background.
That's interesting. That'd be considered one of the STEM fields, wouldn't it? Science, technology, engineering, math?
Absolutely, yeah. And STEM is hot. You know, any kind of jobs within that technical field, you know, have had great hiring outlooks and salaries have just been rising dramatically.
Okay, and the outlook is good for that?
And the outlook is very good for that. One job that, you know, has historically been thought of as a position for women, dental hygienist, actually shows up here because this is a job where you don't actually need a 4-year college degree. You can do it with an associate's degree or just a good training. It's got very strong hiring outlook, over 33%, and it pays over $70,000 a year. So this is the job where people may think, oh, you know, velvet ghetto. It's, you know, women become dental hygienists because they can't do anything else. I guarantee you, when men hear about this, they're going to want to be dental hygienists.
Did you say velvet ghetto?
I know. Yeah, you like that term?
I never heard that. I'm meaning what?
The velvet ghetto tends to be jobs where women fall because no one else will be willing to take that job. So there are positions like elementary school teacher, you know, has traditionally been a velvet ghetto job because it doesn't pay very well. And, you know, more than 80% of all elementary school teachers are women. So that's how it cuts up. Gets that term.
We're speaking with Tony Lee. He's the publisher of CareerCast.com. He's got a list out about the 12 best jobs for women. Also on that list, say, event planner, right? I mean, decent, yep. Actually very good outlook for that.
Yep. Event planner is another one where a four-year college degree isn't required. You have folks who can do it with an associate degree. You have folks who can have a high school degree and have gotten into event planning and done well. The salary is going to be tied to the education level. So the average is about 46, but it's higher for those with a college degree. And you're right, the hiring outlook is extremely strong.
Something you probably do from home too, right, if you're pretty organized?
Yeah, except yeah. With event planning, you know, it is a very stressful job. It does show up highly on our stress rankings because everybody's looking to you to make sure the event comes off.
Right.
And if it doesn't, there's only one person to blame.
All right, thanks, Tony. That is Tony Lee, publisher of CareerCast.com. That'll do it for this hour. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.